Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Joe Hampton.
Sean Hyler. Coach John over here, East LA College Last Chance U.
Catch me on the Complex Sports Podcast.
On this week's episode of the Complex Sports Podcast, we have a very, very special episode with three guests from Netflix's new season of Last Chance U Basketball. We have Sean Hyler, Joe Hampton, and John Mosley joining us for an explosive episode. Let's get to it. What up? It's your man Chops. Brand new episode of the Complex Sports Podcast. As always, joined by my man Adam Caporal and Zion Olajide. Fellas, what's popping this week in the world of sports?
What's popping with you, man? You just traveling all over the country for no reason.
What you mean?
Just coming back from Denver for no reason.
I can't take a trip.
Nah, bro. That's
I can't. Me and Adam are going to the Masters next week. We out here.
Yeah, you guys just don't care about the pandemic, just ignoring all phases of it.
I'm safely traveling across the country, vaccinated and everything, so I'm enjoying life again, Zion. You should indulge because we've been locked up too long. So yeah, you should indulge, Zion. But yes, and Adam, are we gonna like live stream our drive down to Augusta or no?
No, because I may murder you on the drive down. That's number one.
Yeah,
number
that's tough. Two.
Yeah, so we're going to see how we go with this drive down to Georgia. That's number one. Number two, we cannot bring cell phones to the golf course at Augusta National. It's like on lockdown.
Wow. I'm talking about the live stream on the way down.
I don't know.
I'm talking about the live stream on the way down.
We may witness a murder depending on how we gel over the next 12 hours.
Y'all just got to sit and watch golf.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait to watch the Masters in person.
Once you go to the golf course, which I've been to 4 years ago, it is unlike any place in sports. I can't wait to fucking go back. It's on a different level.
All I'm going to say, and we have a great episode this week. I'm actually not on this interview. Zion and Adam held it down. Last Chance U Basketball, Deshaun Hyler, Joe Hampton, John Mosley on this episode. Very good conversation.
Yes, let me preface this for those listening in the beginning. There are some spoilers. So if you do listen to it and you want to watch Last Chance U, I mean, you might.
How many spoilers are there? Let's give a spoiler level, like 1 to 10. How much spoilers? Is it like 8 or 9? Or?
It's not that much. I would say maybe 4 or 5.
Okay, so mild spoilers. And then
mild spoilers.
Okay,
but,
okay.
I mean,
it's a great season. This is probably the best season of Last Chance U that I've seen. Like the football ones are great, but this one has been fantastic.
Yeah, this one,
and the interview is great. You guys really did. Knocked it out of the park, as they say. First interview without me. I'm very proud of you guys. It's like my kids like going to college. I feel very
all right. Let's relax.
No.
Adam, the drive down there.
Yeah,
I'm picking all the music on the drive. You do not get to pick any of the music.
Yeah, Adam's gonna be playing.
What nonsense are you gonna be queued?
I don't want to listen to Liquid Swords on repeat.
It's a great album. It's a classic album.
I don't want to listen to Liquid Swords on repeat for 13 hours.
Nothing wrong with listening to GZA, who drops dimes every little line. So what's wrong
drops
with listening
dimes.
To GZA?
Oh dimes. My God. Okay, what you sound like Brian Scalabrine.
Talking about dimes and rap. Come on,
yeah,
bro.
I am picking the playlist the entire drive down to Georgia.
We shall see.
We shall see. Are the Nets just going to sign another washed-up veteran every single time?
I mean, y'all, I know it's going to be the first thing you brought up, so go ahead, man. Aaron,
every week we do this. Who's next? Scottie Pippen next week? They got a roster spot open. Who we signing next?
Listen, let me say this. I do not like the LaMarcus Aldridge signing.
It makes no sense. Nothing about it makes sense.
I didn't want it to happen. I wanted us to get Gorgui Dieng, who actually went to the Spurs for some reason. But at the end of the day, the Heat didn't get him, so the Lakers didn't get him, so I'm cool with it. I mean, he's not really a fit. You got to have a big man for the Nets that's athletic, can catch lobs, play defense. He doesn't do any of that. So, I mean, we'll see where he fits. I don't know where he does.
I haven't seen LaMarcus Aldridge play basketball in 3 years.
What's crazy is Blake, LaMarcus, Kyrie, KD, Harden were all in the 2019 All-Star game. That was
LaMarcus
was
not in the 2019 yes, he All-Star was. Game. Was he really?
Yes, he was.
I refuse to believe that's a fact.
Yeah, he was in
that's
Charlotte.
That's insane. Adam, you didn't know that.
How are you discrediting LaMarcus Aldridge, who I think is a 7-time All-Star? Like, it's not like he hasn't not been on these All-Star teams year in and year out. Especially when he went to San Antonio, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago? I forget what it was.
Has it been that long already?
It's been that long, yeah. LaMarcus's been one of the better producing offensive big men in the NBA for basically half a decade, if not longer. So you are shading LaMarcus Aldridge big time right now. He deserves a little bit more props than that.
I mean, Zion's a Nets fan. He doesn't even
I know he's a Nets fan, but I agree with young Zion. I think it's more a move to block him from going to another Eastern Conference contender, which I get. But you can easily make a case that, yeah, Gorgui Dieng would have been a much better fit because he actually brings something defensively. And there's no way in hell LaMarcus Aldridge is playing with the closeout unit for the Nets.
Zion, I heard a rumor that Andre Drummond went to LA so he could record music with people. Is that why the Nets didn't get him?
No, the Nets didn't get him for different reasons, but I think...
Tell us those reasons.
I don't know any reasons that...
You just said reasons and then now you don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Who are your sources in the music industry?
I heard from people who I used to work with in the music industry that he was reaching out to people. And shout out to Andre, he's on the pod, but he's working on music and he wanted to be in LA. That's all I heard.
I mean, that's cool, but he's playing there half a season. This is a rental.
He's not signing with the Lakers.
Yeah, so like, I mean, he could do that. He was already in LA working out.
Yes, he was living in LA. Yeah.
That's cool for them. They got Andre Drummond. I don't think it puts any fear in my heart as a Nets fan for them getting Andre Drummond, but. You know, they need him. They need him right now, especially without AD and LeBron. We don't know. LeBron's going to be back in 4 weeks. So
you know what team is scary? And you texted me this last night. Adam probably loves this fucking team. The Nuggets are scary right now.
They're interesting. I don't know.
Aaron Gordon fits perfectly into that team.
I think he fits really well. I just think anybody fits really well with Jokic because he's
yeah.
great.
And Murray.
And Murray's a great scorer.
Yeah, but he fits a specific need with a guy who can play good quality defense at the four, yeah. switch on different guys. He's not going to be needed to do a lot of scoring, which you don't want to do anyway. It's like when Aaron Gordon's your number one, number two player on your team, that's not ideal. That's not good. But when he's
your
third
or fourth guy,
best that's... player, which he is, and you can make a case Michael Porter Jr. or Well, I mean, offensive output, Michael Porter Jr. can get you more points off the bat than Aaron Gordon can. But anyway, adding him, I love what the Nuggets did. Like, I mean, JaVale McGee was, a solid addition, nothing crazy. But
he was.
Between McGee and Aaron Gordon, yeah, it's like the Nuggets are – if you don't think they are not legit contenders to come out of the West, you are taking a nap.
If LeBron isn't healthy, then I would
– I'm still –
I don't know if I'm taking the Nuggets over the Clippers, but the Nuggets are dangerous. Can we talk about Zion's – the star player of Zion's favorite team, he has been going off on Twitter for the past week. KD. He has been going off on Twitter.
KD's been doing that.
Because here's the problem with the NBA right now. And KD said it perfectly. NBA fans don't actually love the product or the game right now. Everybody just does his bitch. Everybody just complains.
Like the
who cares? Who cares if LaMarcus – and like we're talking about it, but LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin in the prime of past the prime of their careers going to the Nets. It's not that big of a deal. Like people are acting like David Stern go in and allow this to happen. And
people bringing up CP3 like, to Kobe, like nah,
it's CP3 in his prime. That is so different than these situations. It's like, and I'm sure Adam has a problem with these things.
And Blake said it today. He was like, oh yeah, it's funny because y'all were just calling me trash the past 2 years. Now he goes to the Nets.
Exactly.
It's unfair. They say the same thing, but with LaMarcus, he's been trash, and he goes to the Nets. It's unfair.
And I think the NBA has problems. I think the NBA has issues, especially in how people who cover the game talk about the game and get fans interested. But this isn't the thing that should turn people off from the game. And if it does, then people just want to complain anyways, you know?
Yeah.
Wait, when you say turn people off from the game, you're talking about the accumulation of brand names on five different teams right now?
I mean, but what is a – who cares if it's a brand name?
I guess I'm just struggling to find the root.
Do you think Blake Griffin should have went to – what should he have done?
He can do whatever he wants. I mean, he negotiated a buyout with the Pistons.
That's what I'm saying, but people are mad that he's on the Nets. But just because he's a brand name, it's not like he's – he's scoring 30 a night and is MVP candidate. Who cares what Blake Griffin did?
Well, who cares what people on Twitter think? Also, it's like
the NBA does. The NBA is built off social media. The NBA is built off, and maybe that's the problem.
I won't say built
with the
off,
NBA but, this but day is that it's built on social media, so these things become a fucking talking point all the time.
They do, for better or for worse. I think sometimes for worse here, but also let's remember the NBA regular season tends to be a slog, as we've mentioned numerous times,
especially
the past
this
several
year.
Weeks.
It's yeah, a big
so it's like
slog
I mean,
year.
when you're struggling to get really geared up for these regular season games that have been going on for months and months now, and the playoffs still feel like they're months and months away, you're going to latch onto stupid storylines to ratchet up the drama. And the NBA is an incredible reality show that sometimes, if not more often during the regular season, is much more interesting off the court than it is on the court. Unless you want to get into nitty gritty analytics and other shit like that.
But people aren't even interested in the off the court stuff. They're just complaining about these brand names.
But that's off the court stuff right there. These guys beat these brand names joining up together. That's
I don't know.
You got to manufacture drama somehow. I mean, that's our job in the media to make people interested in that stupid shit.
But then you have people complain. I don't know. It seems like a circle of bullshit.
You can't please everyone in life.
Let me say this. There is not one excuse for the Nets not winning the title this year, Zion. So have fun.
Yes, I want to discuss this.
See, this is the problem.
No, I want to discuss this point.
But this is the problem, though. How did the Nets get so much significantly better?
I'm not saying about the additions. I'm saying with AD and Bron hurt. There's no excuses for
that. No, because you are saying it with additions, because you weren't saying that before they got
Bron
Blake
wasn't
and
hurt before. The Lakers still looked like dominant.
But
Bron and
if
AD
the Lakers
hurt,
are healthy, do you think the Nets should win the championship?
I don't know if the Lakers are going to be healthy the rest of this year. That's a serious injury for LeBron, and AD is serious.
If LeBron and AD are healthy, are the Lakers the favorites to win the championship?
I think they're right. It's toss up between them and the Nets, but they're not healthy right now. So I'm saying the Nets have no excuses not to win it.
If they're not healthy, then okay, I can understand that. But if they're healthy, they're still the favorites. The Nets didn't shore up any of their weaknesses. They still need a backup big man who could guard and beat.
Adam, what did you want to say?
No, I want to say, Young Zion, you're correct. If AD and LeBron are healthy, they are slight favorites over the Nets to win it all.
Slight. But it's like
slight.
So
it's
close.
Oh. It's very close. It's very close, but slight favorites because it's still AD and LeBron, two top five players on the same team who already did it. But
although
the hypothetical,
go ahead.
The hypothetical I want to ask you, Young Zion, is what would you deem a failure for the Nets? Is making the conference finals good enough for you, or do you have to make the NBA finals? In my opinion, you have to make the NBA finals.
You have to make the finals, and you have to push. If you're going to lose the finals, you better lose it in 7 or 6. That's where I'll be like, okay, maybe we're missing something. But I mean, to me personally, I mean, although everyone thinks the Lakers are favorites, I'm still picking the Nets in a series against the Lakers.
That's right fine. Now. You're a little biased, but in general, I just, for the record, for the Nets to have a successful season in your mind, they have to have a competitive NBA Finals with whoever they face.
Competitive NBA Finals.
No, with the Lakers. If it's anybody else, they should win that Finals.
Okay. Oh, only the Lakers. So if they played the Clippers in the Finals, they should win.
They should win that. They should. Okay. But I think if the Nets get to the finals, they're winning the finals.
I brought up that hypothetical because I think Stephen A. Smith mentioned this somewhere, and I forget where he mentioned it, but basically he said that you could consider the Nets season a failure if they somehow didn't make the NBA finals, and the Knicks a million times more successful season if they just make the playoffs.
Philly,
and I think that's legit.
If Philly missed on getting Kyle Lowry, if Philly got Kyle Lowry, I think the Nets still had to make the finals, but it got a little closer because Philly would have been better. But Philly only adding George Hill, like that's no, not
it's not
that's not
doesn't move the needle, needle doesn't significantly
the
make
Bucks
them better.
The Bucks have been up and down this year. They added Austin Rivers. I mean, friend of the pod, we love Austin. That's not a needle mover. Miami
and PJ Tucker.
Oh, they did add PJ Tucker too. Miami added Vic, who's had a tough year.
Oh yeah, but people, one thing about that Victor Oladipo trade, people think it's supposed to put fear. Whoever's saying the Heat, Jalen Rose, who came on the podcast, you're saying that.
Shout out to Jalen. Shout out to our friend. We've had too many people on the pod, so everybody has to be a friend of the pod that we talk
somehow
about.
Somehow he's believing that the Heat are the favorites in the East now.
He said that?
Yeah, Jalen said that. I saw that comment.
Jalen said they're the favorite in the East.
Yes, they are the favorites in the
East. Who is guarding Kevin Durant on the Miami Heat?
He must be smoking something because.
Let's get Jalen back on the pod to explain that because who is guarding Kevin Durant?
It's not even about the defense. It's putting Oladipo and Jimmy Butler and Bam in the same five. Who's shooting?
Adam loves Victor Oladipo, and even he would say that he is having a disastrous
roll,
season.
This is not another one of these individuals.
You love Victor Oladipo. It's a fact.
I don't love Victor Oladipo. I think he brings some skills that, when he's healthy, are really attractive and intriguing. But the question is, like, I mean, he's looked atrocious with the Rockets. Now that's
he looked bad.
Now James Harden looked atrocious with the Rockets also. So I don't know if that's the case. Yeah,
James was doing that on purpose.
Well, actually, that's a good point. He was purposely atrocious with the Rockets. So I don't know if Oladipo's going to all of a sudden turn it on. But his numbers have not been that good, and he's looked kind of I don't want to say lackadaisical, but just doesn't look that good with the Rockets. So.
Did they make another move, or was it just Vic?
No, whom are you talking about?
Pretty much
the
just
Heat.
Vic.
The Heat. Yeah. It was just Vic. And then they struck out on LaMarcus.
Okay. Struck out on LaMarcus.
The Nets are still the clear favorite.
Here's a question. Is Oladipo even going to be in the closing lineup for the Heat?
That's my whole thing. It's because you have three. I think he will be because defensively that's still crazy.
So
It's Vic, Jimmy, Hero, Bam, and maybe Duncan Robinson. You have three guys.
That's a small lineup. That's a small lineup.
It's not even about small. You have three guys who cannot shoot. Like
who are the three that can't shoot?
Vic is a hot or cold shooter. If I'm a team, I'm leaving it, open.
But he's
shooting like 33% from three this year. He's not a good shooter.
Yeah. But don't say Jimmy in this because Jimmy will make big shots.
I don't care. I'm still leaving it open for three. He shoots 20% from three.
But when it's a big ball shot, like big balls, like you need a shot. Jimmy's up to like 60%.
No,
that's my eye test.
He performs in the big spots, but
that's cool.
Jalen Rose going crazy about the Heat acquiring Victor Oladipo was a little bit nuts, and maybe Jalen was just forgetting that this is not the Oladipo of 3 years ago. I don't know, but it was kind of crazy.
Before we get to this last chance U basketball interview we have, I want to ask this another question to you guys because Adam loves talking about this. I don't really care because I think the MVP award is just so saturated. LeBron should have won so many more times, and it's stupid. But who is the NBA MVP right now after Harden said that he should be it? So who is the MVP?
You want me to rank him?
No, I don't want you to rank it. Just
so I would agree right now it should be James Harden.
Zion?
Yeah, I mean, Embiid's injury made it, like, it's between him and Jokic, and I'm picking the Nets over because James Harden has carried the Nets.
I think Giannis is coming.
I saw someone say that Rudy Gobert should be MVP, and I almost lost my fucking mind.
You could have made a case analytically back in January that Rudy Gobert should have been.
I have a thing where I just like don't like talking about NBA on Twitter because it's so fucking annoying these days.
Rudy Gobert, Adam, did you just say?
But I almost lost my fucking mind seeing someone say that.
Listen to me, Young Zion. I said analytically speaking, you could have made a case for Rudy Gobert being the top five when the Jazz were going on their streak.
I am never putting Rudy Gobert in a top five NBA.
Okay, but when the Jazz were popping off back in January and early February, like
the are they not popping off anymore? They're still number one in the West.
They've cooled down a little bit, pal.
All right, James Harden is the MVP because of lack of options. I think
I would say, yeah, my top three would be
Embiid is out,
Harden, Jokic, and Giannis is making a big run right now.
Giannis' numbers. MVP. Giannis never gets to win MVP again.
If he doesn't win the East this year, he can't win MVP. He can't. He just can't.
Giannis is disqualified from every MVP discussion going forward. He never gets it again.
Why?
That's just the rules. I made up a rule right now.
Well, that's a narrative media rule right there. Good. Which is why LeBron hasn't won 9 million goddamn MVPs.
LeBron has deserved those. Giannis,
exactly.
He's deserved it for the regular season, but his postseason performance has deleted
LeBron won those MVPs, he didn't win them because of the playoffs either. It's a regular season award.
Yeah, but so, LeBron wasn't smoking the East like Giannis was smoking the East.
Not to get too deep into it. When is Embiid back? Do we know when Embiid is back?
I haven't seen any time update yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Right.
I mean, Jesus Christ, when's Kevin Durant going to come back? He's been out for a month and a half.
I mean, he's chilling. He's tweeting. He's having a great time.
If there's one person that loves NBA Twitter, it is Kevin Durant.
No, he hates NBA Twitter, and that's what he tweets about.
Are you sure about that?
He hates it, and he tweets about it. It's hilarious. So, okay, last chance to you. Well, real quick, I was paying attention, but I wasn't really paying attention. Who won the trade deadline, our best friend, Shams, or Woj?
I don't know.
Does that mean it's Woj because we don't want to say anything bad about our friend Shams?
It might have been Woj, but I didn't really pay attention.
Adam has an answer. He doesn't want to say.
Objectively speaking, Woj seemed to have more of the.
Intel. We're Team Shams though.
We love Shams. I was talking to him before the deadline a little bit and a little bit afterwards.
You didn't get any scoops.
That's his job. It's not my job to report his shit. He reports his own shit. But Woj seemed to have the larger, more popping. intel, if you will. So
yeah. I can't believe you just said that. I'm Team Shams forever.
Wasn't even a great trade deadline. It was all right.
It was better than
I think it was much better than we expected in a few years.
Yeah, we didn't think Vooch to get traded. Yeah. We didn't think some of those.
I mean the Raptors are stupid.
What were the Raptors? Yeah, How do you not trade Kyle Lowry?
Should have gotten rid of Lowry. But the way the trade deadline was shaping up like a week beforehand, you had all these execs saying it was gonna be quiet, you're not gonna have a lot of movement. And it was much more movement and much more drama than we expected. Yeah.
The Raptors are. I'm still stupid. No, you gotta get rid of Lowry.
One person in the NBA, I definitely got to give my flowers before we transition. Zion Williamson, man, shout out my guy Zion Williamson. This man is going stupid.
He's going crazy.
And all the critics who said in college that he couldn't score in the NBA.
What critics?
Bro, you were one of them. Stop that.
What did I say? I literally have receipts.
I have receipts.
What receipts do you have?
I have receipts from Summer League of you saying, he's not going to do the.
That was like Doug Gottlieb. That wasn't me.
So it's Chops and Francesa were the two anti-Zion.
Yo, how does Mike, every college coach that he said, the guy pulls it up on Twitter back after this. He thought Juwan Howard was going to be a terrible fit. Mick Cronin, like every college coach hired,
Mike said
he was going to be terrible.
You're new to Francesa, relatively speaking. Those of us who grew up listening to Francesa know that this is completely on brand for him to get all these proclamations dead fucking wrong. Who's going to be a perfect fit or who's going to excel here and there. The list of things that Mike Francesa, who the sports pope, who we all bow down to because we're part of the unwashed masses and not worthy of his existence, know that Mike gets all these things incredibly fucking wrong. And it's hilarious that Funhouse, after this, on Twitter, has all the receipts and dunks on Mike whenever he possibly can.
So do we have anything to say about March Madness before we get to – I don't think so. It's been so bad. The game last night was good.
But this is the thing about the good games. They're not really good. It's like a good
– They need crowds.
But not even the crowds. It's good 36 minutes of bad basketball, but the game is close. But the last 4 minutes will be okay.
Yeah, but crazy. Zion, as a college basketball fan, you know this. This is like the argument. Like if you want to watch high-level basketball – it's more skilled basketball. You obviously stick to the NBA.
When Alabama hit that three and there just was no roar, it hurt. It hurt when there was no roar after that.
Yeah. The atmosphere has been different and it's definitely missing something. But if you just embrace the tournament for what it is, like just enjoy it for that. And the Alabama UCLA game was great. If Alabama could hit a goddamn free throw, they'd be going to the Elite Eight.
If I would have bet on Alabama, I would have literally may have jumped in the East River last night.
Like I continuously say, the peak of college basketball was Zion's year because everybody was glued to every single second Zion Williamson.
Yeah, but I think the issue might be true, but the issues this year, they need crowds back NBA needs crowds back too because everyone there's something missing. The NBA desperately needs crowds back. It's an issue.
I like the Nets with crowds and no crowds.
All right. Real quick, a lot happened in this last week of this podcast. I'm hearing the 49ers are taking Mac Jones at number 3 over Justin Fields.
That's privilege.
I am hearing
from sources.
A lot of people have said this. Chris Sims, who's very close with Kyle Shanahan, came out and said it. A lot of people said it. I checked myself with some sources, and I am hearing Mac Jones is seriously in play for the 49ers at number 3.
Okay, that sounds like a glorious smokescreen, so congratulations on the
49ers. But why would you do a smokescreen? You just traded up. You don't need a smokescreen.
Okay, but if Mac Jones has been predicted to be a mid to later first round pick by numerous teams,
but
how the fuck is he jumping up to number 3?
People fly up boards all the time, Adam. That's not wrong.
You're not wrong. We've been surprised here and there, and guys have dropped precipitously as well.
No one thought Daniel Jones was going six, right, Zion? No one thought Daniel Jones was going six.
All right, touche. Good point.
So everybody get prepared for Mac Jones to go ahead.
But also could be a classic smokescreen.
Well, your Jets are locked in on Mr. Wilson.
I have opinions on that. You can hit me off.
Very sad. Very sad.
Why? You don't like Zach Wilson?
I want them to keep Sam Darnold at this point.
Okay. That's a take. That's a hot take. Why? And acquire
draft assets.
Whatever. All right. That's a take. Let's get to this interview. Last Chance You. Great interview. John Mosley, Joe Hampton, Deshaun Hyler. As Zion said, like 4 or 5 on the level of spoilers, right, Zion?
Yeah, 4 or 5. So,
yeah, you know. 4 or 5. So there are some mild spoilers. If you haven't seen it and don't want to get spoiled, I'd watch it, then come back and listen. But yeah, great interview. Let's get to it.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So welcome to the Complex Sports Podcast. We have probably my favorite show out right now, three of the stars. We got Coach John Mosley, Deshaun Hyler, and Joe Hampton from Last Chance U. Welcome, guys, to the show. Appreciate you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you got us, man. There's a lot of people hitting us up right now. And
I know, you're superstars. Your superstars That's, right now. But yeah, just to jump right into it, I guess we'll go one by one. Deshaun first. How has your life changed since the documentary?
It's crazy right now. Got a big following on social media. But that's really the only difference right now is just the audience, just a lot of attention, a lot of eyes on me right now. But I'm just doing more of the same, more of what I'm doing, continuing to work on basketball, work on my schoolwork, and just staying focused right now.
Life is great for me right now. Really good, actually. I'm not going through some of the same demons I was before on and off the court. My life has grew in that aspect tremendously. I'm happy. And like Sean said, just to piggyback on what he said, I have a huge fan base now. So, that can either hurt you or help you. So,
but real quick, as Coach was joking around before we started taping this, and he was kind of busting you guys' balls, you guys now have two big time returnist texts. You guys won't call him and check in on him?
Right.
Oh, no, he was joking.
No, just confirm. Just making sure.
We don't stand him up. We don't stand him up.
No, it's he's all good. Guy. They good, man. I think I was texting Deshaun yesterday. And what we talk about is nothing that's dealing with this show or anything. We still talking about life stuff. We're talking about Sacramento State stuff, and we talk about life stuff still because it's still a process. They still doing stuff that they need to do to be successful. I mean, this is great for now. This is great for now, but like they say, it's just 15 minutes, right? And we just make sure we kind of stay grounded in it. Other opportunities can come from it. It feels like things are trying to come up for me, but I kind of push them away and they try to bring them towards me. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. But so life has changed in that way. I've gotten thousands of emails. I think the PR team at Netflix said, you may want to take your email off the website. And I said, nah, I'll be fine. I'm used to getting 50 to 100 a day people want to play, but it's completely changed. You're talking about 1,000. So for anybody that's listening, I would love to reach out and tap every email. I can't take it off now because but I'm literally getting hundreds. But the pouring that I'm hearing, and I try to respond to everyone. Like I'll stay up, I'll go 2 hours and I'll try to respond, whether it's just a template and send it back. But the thing is the pour out of how it impacted everybody. I mean, Zion, you said, hey, it's one of your favorites. And I think everything was so real. Joe, Sean, and it's not just those guys, everybody, nobody was fake and we were trying to be authentic. And I don't know, I guess it resonated. Everything was authentic. Nothing was staged. You know, everybody say, why did you do this and that? And sometimes I'm like, I don't know, man, it was just a moment, it wasn't staged. None of these guys were trying to gain attention or nothing. It was just who they were in the moment.
Was it tough, though, to be authentic off the bat? Because I guess sometimes when you're in front of the camera, obviously you would have maybe a penchant to want to act out a little bit or maybe kind of be a little bit different. But for all you guys, was it easy to be authentic right off the bat?
I don't know if it was if it made anybody want to act out off the bat. I think it had kind of like the opposite effect. I think it was at first it was kind of like you kind of wanted to shrink a little bit, like you didn't really know what to show, you know, what to say, what not, you know, what not to say. But, you know, it wasn't long before, you know, we got connected with the crew and, you know, got to talk to them off the set and, got to, you know, really just get comfortable with them.
And the crew made it really easy for us, to open up really. Like you said, they were really cool and, like them being cool, like gave us the door to be ourselves really.
Here's the amazing thing about basketball, as you guys can see, in terms of basketball players, even at their young age. I mean, you can Google and find Joe Hampton and Deshaun Hyler prior to Netflix and Last Chance U, or prior to even East LA College. And basketball has this way of being polarizing in itself at a young stage. And I think those guys were used to being on camera. And the emotions can show more. And I mean, heck, everybody's got social media anyway. They're on camera all day. And I shared, you know, in regards to my faith, I felt like ever since I became a believer, I felt like I was on camera and I felt like, hey, I need to guard what I say or what I do. And, you know, and I was, and, but at the same time, be authentic and be real. You know, and I felt like my dad made me feel like I was just God's gift to the world. So I thought I was a movie star at two anyway. You know, I thought I had a camera following my life, our whole life anyway. You know, I think a camera's in here right now. So,
well, you're on camera right now on Zoom. So yeah, it continues.
Okay. Yeah, I am there, but there's a certain accountability in terms of trying to live out your life. And I think all of our guys, they were kind of prepared for it.
And I mean, even for all y'all, well, Deshaun and Joe, the two guys definitely express your emotion a lot. Was there ever a point where, you know, a cameraman was following you and you're like, nah, not right? I think we saw kind of in the show, Joe was, there was one point where he was like, not right now.
Yeah. And I knew they were doing their job and they still right there recording me, but I knew that I couldn't blow up and take it too far and like get the camera on my face. But I mean, yeah, there were definitely times where you didn't want to be recorded because, I mean, your emotion was just so high and you felt like you were just so out of character. You just didn't want people to see that. But I mean, I guess that's what made it so raw and authentic, I guess. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the time, like in those moments, like we just kind of remember like this is our story. Like we want to tell the truth. You know what I mean? And it is who we were. It's exactly what we were going through. And if we wanted to tell like an accurate story, show what was really going on, then being authentic was the only way to do that all the way around, good and the bad.
For sure. I think, was there any, I mean, obviously you want to be authentic, but was there any time watching the show, I mean, even for you, Coach John, was there any point where you're like, dang, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or maybe I shouldn't have done that, or watching it back, you're like, maybe you regret a little bit what you did?
Hey, you know what? I'll give... you know what, that team, the Last Chance U team that put together Netflix, man, their editing was phenomenal. There are some moments I wouldn't say I regret in regards to it was something wrong, but I would have regretted if some things were included that were not appropriate for the climate, you know, the how we are in our country today. You know, there were some things that could have been offensive to certain interest groups. You know, because I wear my faith on my sleeve and I mentioned some things and these guys don't even know some of the things. They would do some commentary with me and I would express how I felt. And you know what? It was legit and it makes sense, but ultimately it may not be appropriate for, this day and age, you know, in terms of it would be too much of me sharing what I believe in terms of my faith. And it may offended some other group. So I think that was, in a sense, good. I mean, I didn't regret anything, but I'm just happy they didn't put a few things or a few of those moments in. I thought they did a great job, man, because it focused on the right, you know, it just focused on the right stories that needed to be told. There was no distractions. There was no distractions. It was all just those moments. So there was nothing that I saw. I did see it the first... as soon as it came on, I'm like,
man, I'm kind of turned up too much. And I was like, man, they start, that's what they start with. I thought they were going to gradually build.
Ran up a wall 30 seconds in.
I know. Like, I'm like, and I thought, I said, you know what? It's only going to get worse. Cause, I don't turn down. I thought they were going to get me talking and being calm and then go into it. But 30 seconds in, I was like, okay, you know.
Yeah. I mean, what'd you guys learn about yourselves from watching yourselves with all that footage that was captured?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Was like, I don't know if I regret anything. I'm just happy that I got to see it. You know, I don't know if I'm happy that, you know, millions of people got to see it, but I'm happy that I got to see it at least and learn from it. You know, I'm trying to be a leader and trying to continue to grow and thrive in leadership positions. I feel like it's a good tool for me to use and to learn from.
It just showed basically how like passionate I was for the game, really. I mean, there were some moments where some people might not agree with how I did things or how I acted, but all in all, like looking back on that, like I love the game of basketball, and I was really trying to show it, and I really wanted to win. So, I mean, that's what really I took from watching it.
Piggybacking off of that, I think I was reading an article the other day, and it said for Coach that the show left out your favorite moment. I don't want to, you know, spoil it for fans, but it doesn't really spoil it because it didn't show it. But can you explain to the audience who doesn't know, what was your favorite moment? The whole season.
Yeah. So there's a favorite moment. And actually, I'll give you two quick ones. But one, I know that was explained in the article. We were in San Diego, and that was an important tournament. I said, hey, we got to go down and win, because I think it was like two ranked teams. It was a 20 ranked team and then a 4 ranked team. And so we beat both of them in the tournament. We were celebrating. It felt good. It was like, man, we were all in it. Like, yeah, we doing good. You know, it was right after Christmas. It was an overnight trip. You know, those are always great. We don't get many at the junior college level. Can't afford them. But it was a great overnight trip. We were all heading back. And it seems like everybody had some type of support system there. And I think that weekend, Deshaun didn't have anybody. And he was standing in the back. We were all in the vans. You know, we got to drive vans. You know, I got to drive two and a half hours to go back to L.A. from San Diego. And so we're ready to go. Coach Rob is in the other van in front. And I look, I'm like, man, where's Deshaun at? And then Deshaun is in the back walking around in circles. And he's kind of like got his eyes to the sky, and he's kind of tearing up. And I'm like, oh, shoot, man. What happened to Deshaun now? What is going on? Oh, man, this is catastrophic. So I walk back there, open the door, and get out. And the door is open. The vans are running. And Deshaun's back there, and he just looks at me, kind of falls over on me. And he just had come from some level of sickness. And I'm thinking, like, and you know, back then, we didn't know what was going on with the sickness. So I'm assuming that it ran through our team. I'm not going to say what it was anyway, you know, but I'm assuming that was in 2019, December, just at the end of it. But he falls over on me, and then I'm like, what, dude, what's going on? What's going on? And he says, Coach, I just want to talk to her. And I was like, man, that just tore me up. And he kind of gave me some perspective on, recharged my perspective. Like, man, I forgot, man, I got to take these young fellas. And then I tell Deshaun, hey, man, you know, we go through, you know, maybe a 10-minute conversation. And then I said, you mind forever, which he is now. I don't know. I'll see if I regret it or not, but not. He's mine forever. I told him, you're mine forever. And he said, I just want to talk to her, Coach. I just got questions for her. And I said, yeah, I know, man. You can always ask me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Deshaun, you know, he mans up, wipes his tears off, get back in the van, and he start acting like Deshaun again. He a little jerk again. He started acting like a buster again.
Deshaun, you could have waited a day.
I don't know about all that, man.
And then one last moment that they left out that I thought was going to be in there, which kind of could have kind of showed a little bit more of the relationship, because I get a lot of flack. Everybody's emailing me. How can you? Hey, you know what? I got more flack from my aunties than anybody else. How do you let that boy act like that? I'll slap whoop. Tell me if I need to come and whoop that boy's butt. Talking about Joe Hampton. You don't let him talk to you that talk like that. So what they don't understand is the relationship that me and Joe had. And a lot of people say, how do you let him act that way? Or you have so much patience. Well, I knew what was going on in his life, and I knew what we were going through. And I said, man, you know, just go ahead and let him act out. And then when he brings it back, he knows the job that he has to do so that he can move forward. And we see, you know, don't want to spoil it, but we see what he's doing. We see he's well. So I didn't enable him. I just understood what he was going through. And a lot of people say, you enabled him to act out. No, I understood what he was going through. But we had a moment, and I don't want to spoil it, but there was a game when he got into it. And you know, we pulled him, and he's on the bench sitting down. And you may even see it. They had the security guard behind him. But they missed the moment where I just went and I just super went. Like, Joe, you four-star. You Joe Hampton, bro. Don't let nobody do that. Oh. And I was just going off, and everybody, the whole team was supporting him. Like, yeah, Joe, you Joe Hampton, you know. Going off, and they kind of left that out to show that yeah, that's kind of where we was. That's our relationship. So those are two moments. Yeah.
And that was a really good moment for me because, like, at that point, like, I felt like everybody was backing me and had my back because I was going through it at that point in the game with the refs and with the other team. So I felt like I was getting cornered, and my teammates was there, and coach was there for me. They had my back, man. So that was a really good moment for me.
All the way, bro. All the way, the whole time.
Well, I guess one of the most pressing questions I think for a lot of people will be about, Coach, your future. I mean, you brought up the emails, people hitting you about what does your future hold. You talk about potentially getting some offers here and there. I know you said in the show that you think JUCO could be your calling, but I'd assume that your profile is significantly raised with the show and you could have some opportunities maybe at the D1 level or some higher level. So where do you think your future, or what does the future hold, I should say, and where do you kind of see yourself in the long term?
Well, just first, I've always had opportunities to go to the Division I level, maybe not as a head coach, but every year I have, my colleagues reach out, hey, man, I need you to be my assistant. I need you. And we're really good money at really good programs. But to me, it's being able to do what I love to do, and that's being authentic and having an impact on people's lives. Now, that sounds kind of corny and like humanitarian, but to be honest, man, it's about family and all that stuff to me is like I was in that life and I'm like, man, you know what? This is, it's a slippery slope, man. And, that's that world. I just feel like then you can have impact in that world as well. You can have impact, but I feel like I could just have more impact at this level with guys that don't get that second chance at the Division I level. You know, it's you got to win. And, you got to make sure that, hey, we keep this brand going so that we get the television contracts and different things like that. And I don't know if I'm cut out for that. My interest is, just trying to make sure I impact young men. And there's coaches at the next level that are impacting the same way I'm impacting. But I'm just cut from the cloth that I the guys that are hungry, those are the guys I want to. I am attracted to helping. And then family. My son's a 10th grader. My daughter's a 9th grader. My other daughter's a 7th grader. And, COVID even showed me, man, the impact that I had on their lives right now to have this impression, be impressionable. And I shared the moment when my daughter broke my heart and said, Daddy, you're staying at our house. Because I walked in with my bags off of a week-long road trip, So being a recruiting coordinator is something else because it's not like you go to the game with the teams and then you come home. No, you go to games with the team, and then you stay in that area to go to the high schools and recruit. So as a recruiting coordinator, you're out more than the actual team and the head coaches. So it was like she said, you're staying at our house, and I kind of smiled and almost broke my heart. I said, if I get the opportunity, then I will. And now having tenure as a faculty member, it's a little bit more work teaching. But it's a reasonable compensation. My wife's a teacher, so I'm fine with being a decent little bit of middle class guy and helping people.
Hey, if you find a great role and you love it, I mean, you don't have to make any apologies to anybody else. I mean, if that's what you think is your calling, that's where you fit best. Like, yeah, do you?
Well, I'm not chasing nothing. So if a job, I can't tell you how many text messages. You should apply for this job. I'm not chasing nothing. If they come to me, then we can talk, but I'm not chasing anything, man. I don't even have time to do that. I'm still helping these guys. Like, I don't have time to chase me. I got to still help these guys. Yeah.
And for Joe and Deshaun, now you guys transition to your separate colleges. Number one, how has that gone? I've definitely seen the tape, both of you on the next level. You guys been hooping. But definitely even in the pandemic, how is the transition to the D1 level going?
It's been the life, man. It's been everything that you would expect. Especially for me, being a Division I drop back, it's everything that I worked for. The life is good. I mean, due to COVID, our season was kind of up and down. We had a lot of shutdowns, but I think that we had a really, really good season for the time that we were together. And I'm playing really well. I'm starting. So I'm in a really good position to do really big things and be in a position to help my family like my goal was to. So life is good, man, for real.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly what I was looking for, exactly what I wanted, exactly what I went to ELAC to get. This season went well. Like Joe said, there was a lot of ups and downs with COVID and whatnot. But, you know, learned a lot, developed in my game, got better, looking to have a good season next season.
And for you, Deshaun, you completely moved. This is a new environment for you. So how definitely has the new environment with you and your girlfriend been? That transition.
It's been cool to do it together. We learned a lot, grown a lot in our transition up here, like moving and getting her a new job, and you know, me getting familiar with the team and the school, and just things like that. It's brought us closer. We spent a lot of time together. COVID, of course, has helped with that. But it's been smooth. We just been learning, growing, and just having fun.
So my question would be, if you guys, you bring up, you know, COVID obviously affecting this season, but you know, your season that, you know, we saw on the episodes got obviously canceled by the pandemic and everything like that. And you had one of the most poignant and emotional scenes in the locker room. You guys are crying when everything got shut down. So was that, in terms of just the raw emotion from that scene, is that as I guess raw, that's a bad way of putting it, but just that scene in that locker room was, is that like, you know, the most drawn out emotional thing you guys had of the entire time that they were taping and everything you went through throughout that season and what we see on the show?
Yeah, by far. I think that was the most emotional, scene of the show. Clearly, I mean, everyone was hurt. A lot of people didn't show it, but some did. And the ones who did, I guess it hit them harder. Especially me and Sean. It didn't hit me really until we got into the locker room, like off of the bus. And I was still laughing and joking. And then once I saw a coach, like, giving that speech, it hit me, like, the season's over. Like, everything we worked hard for is down the drain that fast. And just to see the emotion on Coach's face and Sean's face, and looking around the room and feeling that vibe, it broke me down. I just couldn't take it anymore, and I had to leave. So, yeah, that was really emotional for us. It hurt.
Yeah, for me, everybody asked me the question and how I felt. I kind of felt like I let everybody down because I was like, I told all these dudes, like, hey, man, if you do this, this, and this, the goal is at the end. Hey, you got to be a grinder. You got to be this. You got to be that. And to just feel like you have no control over, usually if it's a game and you end the season on a lost game, it was like, okay, yeah, maybe we didn't do this or that. And you can find some type of reason or blame, but there was just really no, I just feel like I let all these young men down. And they actually culminated, and I tell people they culminated into, I knew before going into this tournament that everybody's ready to have success in life. As you see, most of our guys have moved on and done well. I knew they were ready. So that's why I said, well, I don't want to share it necessarily, but my comments at the end was to the gist of, hey, you guys did it, for the most part. But it was just, I felt like I let them down, and I just felt so bad. I mean, I'm a coach, man. I'm next year, and the next year I could try to win a state championship, so that's not the point, And I know they talked about winning, and he wants to win the state. That's going to come. But letting these guys experience a taste of it, of winning, and taking that winning mindset to the next phase of their lives, or taking all the lessons to the next phase of their lives. I was hoping they got to reap the benefits of all of the work that they had put in. And I thought that was going to happen. And I was just really hurt that they couldn't experience it. You know, it wasn't, I'm going to have another chance next year and the next year and the next year. Heck, I got a chance to win 10 state championships. They don't have a chance to reap the benefits of the work that they put in that year. Like the work that I put in the past year, I can say, well, I just, when I win a state championship in another year or so, I can say, well, I earned it because of the work, because of what happened to me in 2020. They can't ever say that. And that's what my heart is burdened with. Still to this day, I'm just, you know, they didn't get a chance to experience. The show helps a little bit, but all the work that they put in, yeah. So I just feel like it's kind of my fault. I feel like I kind of lied to them, you know, like I told them, hey, I'm going to tell you it's going to work out, you know, but ultimately God has his plans you know, we make plans and we say what we're going to do. And then God laughs at us like, huh, no, I got different plans. So.
Yeah, I think you get a pass for a pandemic. I mean, that's, you know, once in a century, you get a pass for that.
Hey, they would have won. They would have ran through that tournament. I'm confident in it, you know. But definitely, I would say for Joe, I mean, obviously your high school teammates with Dwayne Bacon now in the NBA. But even like for me personally, looking at you, I feel like your career is going to be more impactful at the end of the day. I think in terms of reaching out to the generation, even though you didn't have that perfect path to the NBA, do you feel like what you've gone through is like a blessing in disguise?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like Coach Moses used to tell me, God don't give battles to people who can't handle them. And it was written for me to go through what I had to go through. My life was hard. It just had to be. It's my story. I'm going to own it. And I'm going to inspire kids to not give up and to bounce back. Ultimately, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. America loves a good comeback story. So, I mean, all the people out there that's going through it and feel like they're at the end of the road, man, just prevail. Just keep working hard. And you'll make it out on top, I promise.
Sure. Before we wrap up here, your reactions, I think, I don't know if Coach John is on social media as much as Deshaun and Joe, so when you see like these memes or reactions just on Twitter or Instagram, what are your guys' thoughts on this? Like now, every day
we actually send them to each other.
Yeah, the ones about Joe are hilarious. those ones are comedy. Like the ones about him like throwing the chairs and stuff. Oh my god, those are hilarious.
One of them just came out yesterday of you with a little attitude.
Oh, girl. Oh, you gotta send it to me, but yeah.
They had to, my kids have to show me the TikTok one because I'm not on TikTok, but the one with Deshaun where they got him singing the song and they got his mouth do that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
Sean didn't mention that. Look, he's trying to erase that off of them. That one is hilarious, bro. That's hilarious. All of it is crazy. My kids look at me like, this is weird. Like, maybe, look, dude, this is weird. They look at social media and I kind of keep my kids protected from them. Like they have so many people, they got like thousands of people trying to friend them. And I say, nah, you know, you got people in Europe trying to friend you. No, you know, you guys are teenagers. Same thing with my wife. So I take on all of that, but I wasn't on social media until 2 weeks ago. And I got like 30,000 Instagram and like almost 20,000 Twitter or whatever. And so, I mean, I guess you got to kind of stay active in it for whatever reason. So, so people don't think you're a jerk. Like, you know, I guess.
be careful in there. It can be a cesspool sometimes.
Yes. It's, you know what? It's time consuming. Like to me, it's a waste of time. Like I'm like, dude, it makes you sit there and you're like, okay, do I have to like this or whatever? You know? And I'm like, dude, I could have been doing something else, you know? So yeah. It's interesting. But that's why I never won it. But now I got to engage in it for a moment, you know.
You're too big time.
Hey, no, I'm not too big time, man. You know what? Really just spending, like I was with my son working him out and then my daughter working. You know, I would rather kind of spend time doing that than liking somebody's tweet, you know. So
better use of time, yes.
Yeah.
I would say last question before we get out of here. What is the your long-term goals, I think, for each of you? Do you see – I want to definitely ask this question for Deshaun and Joe. Do you ever see yourself going back at some point, whether when basketball is done, going back and joining Coach John's staff?
I don't know about joining them on the staff, but you never know. I say never say never, but definitely gonna connect with them to do something to help kids out, because we definitely have a message, you know, and that message will never, you know, never die, you know. You know, people are gonna all, you know, adversity will persist always. Everyone's gonna go through something. So I'm sure that we'll link up and do something to continue spreading that message.
For sure.
These guys are gonna be successful. Deshaun is a great student. He's pretty smart. He's not messing with, I'm not messing with basketball. I'm gonna be a millionaire. I mean, he's got stuff that he's doing that his intellect is far beyond where I was when I was in my early 20s, and Joe Hampton the same. I mean, you see him blow up, but he's intelligent as well. And what a lot of people don't know, his exceptionally high IQ on the basketball court. And when I talk about basketball reveals, I'm revealing to me, I know who you are by the way you play. And both of those guys were unselfishly competitive, unselfishly, you know, they had the unselfish mom. It was like a Mamba unselfish mentality. Like, we're going. And to me, that tells me who you are and how successful you're going to be. Not just because you throw a tiny little tantrum. I'm like, you know what? We can fix that, you know, but I can't fix the drive. I can't fix the ability to perform when your back is against the wall. I can't fix the toughness or not shrinking when the moment gets big. I can't put that in you. And Deshaun has it. Joe has it. So you wonder, why would you deal with those guys? Because, man, I need to help these guys help the things that surround them that shouldn't be there, and help shape and mold that diamond that's inside. The diamond is the fact that he's an elite performer when it matters. And I'm not just talking about basketball. I'm talking about, I don't care. Once he learns how to operate in a corporate office, he's going to be the performer in the corporate office or whatever space you put him in. If you teach him, he's going to perform and Joe's going to perform no matter what. And that's what I mean. It reveals who they are. They're performers, not just on a basketball court.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely appreciate watching you guys. That definitely hit me watching that whole season. I don't know if Netflix is going to like this, but this is, in my opinion, the best season of Last Chance U. It's incomparable. It's not even close. But definitely to Sean, Joe, Coach John. We definitely appreciate y'all for joining us, man. This was dope. Really dope.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you, guys.
That was a lot of fun. See, you guys did a great job. Anything you got, Adam, did you learn a lot, Adam?
What are you implying?
I'm just implying. Did you learn a lot?
Did you learn a lot, bro?
I learned a lot. Yes, those guys have great personalities. Rooting for them to have success, and a lot of fun having them on. That's what I learned.
Zion, how much did you love that?
That was
shout
one of my
shout out to Zion for making that happen. By the way, that was all Zion. Zion pulled that together.
Shout out to Deshaun, Joe, and Coach John. That was definitely one of my favorite interviews ever. Just because it's not your normal athletes. Like, we get a lot of athletes, so these guys have been underrated their whole life and, you know, gone through what they've gone through. And it was just one of my favorite ever TV, well, not TV show, streaming shows I've ever seen.
Call it a TV show. It's a TV show.
Yeah, TV show. Shout out to Last Chance U.
The storylines are just amazing, you know, for these guys to all battle back and be where they are is just, you know, as Zion said, true underdogs through and through. And it's something different for us to kind of be able to tell those stories, which is a lot of fun, you know, because, you know, usually we have guys who have reached the pinnacle, been at the pinnacle, you know, so it's super dope to kind of see the other side of things and get those perspectives. You guys did a great job. That's really a phenomenal, you know, thing to listen to. So, yeah, I had fun. Anything else we got to
talk about? Yankees back on Thursday. Shout out to the New York Yankees. We back, baby. 28 coming.
Oh, God. We don't need to talk about that baseball team.
You didn't give us our bet yet. You know what
I noticed? Yeah, when are you paying up?
I'll wear a full Yankees uniform on the drive down to Augusta, Adam. How about that?
No. Give us something opening day.
When's opening day? Is it this
Thursday? Go live on Twitter opening day.
and
you're pay off your debts. Jesus Christ. Yeah,
this is terrible. This has been almost a year.
What was this bet even about?
What a deplorable human being you are. Pay off your debts, pal. Let's go.
My Mets or your Yankees? Who has more wins this season?
The problematic Cleveland baseball team lost you a bet. Yeah. That's what you have to pay off.
I'm a Mets fan, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
Former, your former fandom, your former team.
I don't even remember ever rooting for them. I'm a Mets fan.
Yankees uniform, post it to social media. Let's go.
Going live.
All right. We'll see. We'll see. Adam, next week we'll be on the road. Augusta.
That's right. I can't wait to get back down to Augusta National, the cathedral. Of
should I bring my clubs? You think they'll let me play?
Few holes? If we were actually covering the tournament, you know, the media gets to play on Monday.
Oh, so we're not going to be there. I might bring my clubs anyways. Just maybe sneak on.
I wouldn't try that.
Play Amen Corner. You think they kick me out?
I think that you will be thrown into a dungeon and never see the light of day again. But you can try.
I can't wait. All right, we love y'all. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify Podcast. Word is we have some big things in the works, so I'm excited. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all for listening every single week. Make sure you go drop those reviews, 5 stars. Let us know who you want on this podcast in the reviews. We want to hear from you guys. NFL draft coming up, so we should have some prospects coming on. It's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, NBA keeps rolling on. We love y'all. Stay safe. Until next time, we'll see you later. And as always, a special thanks to our producers, Josh Dodd and Jasmine Plata, our audio editor, Misha Jones, our production manager, Sean Sel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart, our general manager, Donnie Kwok. This is a production of Complex Networks.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.